You were a few years ago, I mean, we spoke about the idea of this kind of reverence and this almost church-like atmosphere that pervades many classical music venues. A few years ago, you were encouraging people that if they could clap between movements, that and you received an amount of criticism for it. I heard one story that people were shushing those who were applauding, and others were shushing those for shushing.
Oh dear, I'm sorry. I didn't realize I'd created any kind of stir.
What's your feeling? Do you think that there should be, say, applause between movements?
I'll tell you my first feeling. That to some degree, and it's limited, but to a great degree, responsibility for not having applause between movements belongs to the performers. It has to do with your concentration and your focus, and I'll admit it, you know, freely, I mean, and your physical demeanor at the conclusion of a movement of a work. I personally don't mind applause between movements at all. And I feel bad, you know, the problem is, It doesn't have anything to do with music, really, because what happens is that people applaud, you know, at the end of the first movement of the Tchaikovsky concerto, and then some of them get shushed, and so then the people who applauded are made to feel that, well, you're stupid and ignorant, and, you know, don't you... there's something really funny about having silence at the end of the first movement of the Tchaikovsky piano concerto. I'm sorry. It doesn't destroy anything. You're in a public place. I mean, this is music being played for people in a public setting. I understand that it could be disturbing. I mean, I don't think that if you play the second Brahms piano concerto, I'm not real crazy about it when people applaud after the slow movement, which is the third movement in that case, since there are four movements. But a little bit it is something about our tension. If our, as the players, I mean the orchestra and me and the conductor, if we have enough tension on this last chord and our focus is somehow on connection, if people are listening, then they won't applaud. You know, look, there are always people, I must tell you, I'm also not crazy, for example, at the end of a composition. So now is the time to applaud, right, conventionally. At the end of a composition, when there's somebody who wants to let you know that they know it's over, and they jump in there with a, you know, I'm not crazy about that. So there, you know, I mean, people are never satisfied. You know, first of all, there's nothing worse than no applause at all. That would be really terrible. Can you imagine playing a recital, and you finish, and people just look at you, you know. Well, we're used to having applause. I think that there are pieces where it is more disturbing than others, and the performers can usually somehow manage to convey that this is not a time to applaud and move on to the next movement, and that's enough. You know, I don't think we have to get all bent out of shape about this issue.
Somebody once said to me that playing different great composers was almost like putting on a different suit of clothing, that you felt differently, that your personality was viscerally altered, that you feel differently. Is that the case with you as you approach different composers, different works? Do you wake up in the morning and have a Mozart day or a Beethoven day?
No, I mean, you hope that you wake up in the morning and have whatever day you're supposed to be having. Yes, right. Yes, that's right. Thank you very much. That's actually the best thing, to have an Andre Watts day. Yeah. And, you know, the day you're supposed to be having based on what you're going to perform that day. It is, of course, different. I'm not so sure I would go. I don't think I feel that strongly, as you indicated someone said to you. What it really is, it's another facet. It's focusing and putting kind of in a framework another facet of your, hopefully, your capabilities and your persona and, you know, your talent, whatever, you know, your belief and your expressive abilities. You know, you don't think about Puccini arias as you make the slow movement of Mozart piano concertos, you know, but you do somehow think about singing and very often think about, you know, opera. But I think that you are still you as a recreator, as a performer. There's always, and maybe there should always be, the core of you.
Everything you hear on WRTI is made possible by members. Please join today.